Okay, time once again to head out to the blogosphere. Here's everybody's favorite blogger from CanadianThinker.com. Freddie P. joins us in his regular Monday spot. Good morning, Freddie.
Oh, MacArthur, you're so kind.
Well, you know, it's the big intro, right? We got to, like anything, we got to make it bigger than it really is.
Yeah, I'm already bigger than I want to be, believe me.
Okay. Well, Conan O'Brien used to be a pretty big hot shot. Did you catch his interview on 60 Minutes last night? This is the first time that Conan has spoke since he got dismissed from the Tonight Show.
Yeah, I saw it, and I'm just as bewildered by it all as I was going into it. He said some stuff, but he didn't say it all. And there is two sides to every story, of course.
Yeah, I was just amazed at, first of all, Conan shows up. He's got a beard. He looks rather haggard. And he really kind of, to me, Freddie, looked like a broken man. I was really surprised.
Well, he has been through a lot in the past year or so. And, you know, the layman says, hey, $32 million, shut your mouth and live happily ever after. But that's not what makes these guys what they are. You know, it's the entertainment value. It's the thirst to work and to entertain, and that's what matters to them. Money stopped being an issue for Conan O'Brien long before the $32 million.
Sure, yeah. I just think he finally got to the big chair, and it just had it, you know, kind of whipped out from underneath him so suddenly. And I think there's something about when you work for a company as long as he has, NBC, and you felt like you had a deal and had their support, and it was gone like that. You're, like he said, it was kind of like this divorce he never saw coming.
No, exactly. However, I will say this. To me, there's no comparison between David Letterman and Jay Leno. I think Letterman's cool. I think he's neat. I like his presentation. To me, he doesn't even measure up to Jay Leno. Or, I mean, Jay Leno doesn't measure up to him. However, America continuously chooses Leno over Letterman. That tells you something about the mindset of America at 11:30 at night. Bringing Conan O'Brien into that as a replacement for Leno, it just didn't add up to me. He was just so severely different and skewing a younger audience. And maybe that wasn't the time for him and it wasn't the place for him, because if America loves Jay Leno, I don't think they're going to like Conan O'Brien. In that time slot.
Yeah, really, to be successful on that sort of stage, you got to play to middle America, right? You got to be big in Omaha, because if you're not
exactly
big there, forget
when
it.
When Conan would come out on the stage doing all those body gyrations and those weird things, and his neat, I mean, let's make no mistake about it, his neat and quirky sense of humor, I just think it was rejected by America at 11:30, and that's why they flocked to David Letterman. And look what happened when Leno went back.
Mm-hmm.
He's number one again, and David's number two. So I think it was the wrong fit. And at what point does NBC say, we made a mistake here, it is the wrong fit, we've got to correct this? Does loyalty play a part in that? I don't know.
Apparently
it's a lot of
not.
Money, and it's a lot of responsibility to ride the wave maybe for another year or so. I can't answer those questions.
And one thing, and you bring up that about, you know, this is his personality and who he is. He's the quirky guy and the hip guy. That's what makes it so tough in this business. I know you've been through this in your career as well. When you get fired and you're a performer, it's really is like they're rejecting you, right? That this is who you are. It's your personality. And they're saying, thanks, but no thanks.
No, definitely. But those are the, you know, those are the cold, hard realities of that business. And Conan was just a nice, you know, it was just, that was the place for him maybe at 12:30 after Jay. Maybe that's where he belonged, and that's why he was successful. You screw with that formula, and America didn't buy it. So, not that I'm defending NBC. I'm sure it could have been handled differently, and like Conan said, I'm not sure Jay Leno handled it properly. I mean, given his wealth and situation and legacy, he looked like a bit of a weasel going back to that show. All that aside, at some point they had to deal with the reality that it just wasn't working at 11:30.
Yeah, you know, I think Leno's wearing the goat horns here maybe a little unnecessarily, because at the heart of this all, it's management who really screwed this whole thing up. They're the guys that were the mastermind behind this. And
But Carter, so often, you know, we accuse management of not facing their mistakes or correcting mistakes, pretending they didn't exist to protect their own reputation. Well, in this case, NBC admitted a mistake and they moved to correct it. I don't think that's all wrong either.
Fair enough there. Okay, I'll concede that. But I also don't think that Conan really come off particularly well in this 60 Minutes piece. And he kind of looked like sort of the sad clown, if you will. Yeah, I was really shocked by how he come off in that interview last night.
Yeah, and he was very measured when he said, I think in his attempt to take the high road, not say too much, made him appear that way. Apparently, his stage show that he's still performing, he opens up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to wait.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay to go see Conan O'Brien. If I was in New York City and had the chance, or Los Angeles, to see the Conan O'Brien show on television, a taping of it for free, I'd go for the novelty of it. But I'm not paying to see it. Sorry.
Mm. Well, there's several thousand others that are differing with that opinion, because I think they're sold out in Toronto,
oh, yeah, that's
right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, he's catering to a younger demographic that probably that 11:30 time slot on NBC doesn't appeal to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son just got one of those little memory sticks with 32 gigs on it. And he bought this little box that you can plug that into, and it converts to our 52-inch HD television. He doesn't watch network television. He watches stuff he downloads off the computer onto a memory stick. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's changing rapidly, the landscape out there, without a doubt. It'll be interesting to see how Conan does when he comes back to TBS. By the way, I was reading this morning, word is they're trying to get, and this is kind of interesting, David Letterman as his first guest. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, it would be great because, we don't have to explain why it would be great.
All right. Before we run out of time here this week, I know we also want to mention the attempted bombing in Times Square over the weekend, and you think this has got some real implications for tourism?
Well, I think it does. And, you know, as I write on CanadianThinker.com this morning, it's I'm amazed that this hasn't been a problem since 9/11. Just randomly people walking into crowded areas and blowing themselves up. I mean, it happens in Israel. It happens in Iraq. It's happened in Afghanistan. Why hasn't it happened in New York City? Now, apparently this was a bomb. It actually was a bomb Saturday night that fizzled. And, you know, and you don't like to predict these things, or you don't like to give anyone any ideas, but I'm just surprised it hasn't happened yet. And I'm the same way. You know, just after 9/11, I visited New York City, and I actually viewed the smoldering ruins of 9/11, and I was a little freaked out during that trip. Like, you know, what if there's another quick attack, and I'm in the middle of it? Well, with time, that wears off, but I got to be honest with you. Now, we were thinking of going to New York City this summer, and it just sort of presses on you a bit. Boy, do I want to do it. Of course, you got to go because you can't let the terrorists win, but I'm just wondering what effect this will have this summer.
Yeah, I think maybe we're, pardon the pun, but blowing this out of proportion maybe a little bit, because it sounds like it was pretty amateurish and it wasn't the work of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. Although, interestingly enough, they're all claiming responsibility, right?
Of course.
Yeah, do they get these videos on standby, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? It's just like, because we couldn't tell if the words match the mouth anyways, right?
So it's like any television show. They all get together and they tape 20 episodes over 3 days, and they're in the can ready to go.
Yeah, they just insert, we take responsibility for Times Square bombing with truck. Yeah.
Yes.
Freddie, thanks as always, pal. We'll see you again next Monday.
Oh, MacArthur, loving you.
Right back at you. There's Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com.